Let's bow our heads and have another prayer, please. God, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you that you're a God who speaks and reveals. We pray you continue to do that here. Lord, I pray that song we heard that was a prayer. Lord, I pray that this message that I'm going to share, you would use to fulfill that prayer, to bring it to pass. God, to work in each of our lives the practical things that need to be worked in us so that we can truly say, here am I, Lord. That we truly can be available. Lord, I ask you to give me grace to communicate that. And I pray that you'll speak to every one of us, Lord. Speak to me, God. And in a way, Lord, that changes us. That makes us different tomorrow and the next day and this time next year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Greetings to everybody. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to share with you a message that is, I would say, maybe you could say a New Year's message. You know, the New Year, I guess we can still have a New Year's message, can't we? It's the third week here in January. In a New Year's, a good time to think about where we've been and where we're going. And how did last year go, and how do I want this year to go? I like to think about those things because it seems like there's always something that God wants to change in me. God wants to make more like Him, and so forth. And so I have a message today in my heart along that line. I want to speak about things, possessions, stuff. Money. We can talk about that in church, right? Jesus talked a lot about those things. I want to talk about our things, our possessions, our stuff. And that does have a lot to do with whether I can say, here am I, Lord, doesn't it?
That's right.
And just to introduce this subject, I'd like to talk about, I'd like to use an illustration from nature. And I'd like to say that everything in the universe has a purpose, doesn't it? We believe that, don't we? There's evolutionists and people who would say that this world came from random happenings, chance explosions of matter. And so the things that we see around us, they just evolved. It was just like throwing dice, and this is what came. And so that gives you a very different view when you see a tree or a flower or an animal than the Word of God gives us. Because the Word of God says that God made everything. God made everything. And when He was all done, He said, it is very good. He looked at everything He made. And what He said was, behold, it is very good. That tells me that every single thing in the universe was designed with a purpose, by a purposeful God. There's no accidents. There's no flower that doesn't have a meaning. There's no animal that doesn't mean something. No, everything has purpose. And one of the exciting things of our life here on this earth is to discover what are the purposes of these things. You know, that brings excitement to my life when I can think that way. It's not just a field out there. There's something of God in that field. There's something to be learned from that field. It's not just a flower over there. God made that flower. He's speaking through that flower. What is He saying? I believe that's the way Jesus thought. Didn't it come out of His teaching? Think about all His messages and His teaching. Isn't that what He did? He just took things that were right here at hand. The flowers. Consider the lilies of the field. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. Isn't that what Jesus must have been like growing up? This is my Father's world. Oh, Father, what are you saying through that bird? What does that flower mean? And so when God called him into the ministry and called him to begin teaching, he had this storehouse of all manner of illustrations from the very creation that God made, the very things that he spoke into existence. To me, that's exciting. And we know that there was a fall of man and there was a flood that destroyed everything. And so everything we see today is not exactly as it was when God said, "It is very good." But nevertheless, everything has the fingerprint of God upon it. If we have eyes to see, if we have ears to hear. Many of the men who made amazing discoveries in the last 300 years, most of them believed that way in their minds. They believed that there was a God who made everything for a purpose. And so they set out to discover what that was. I think of George Washington Carver. He was a Christian. He believed God made every plant had a purpose and had things that could be learned from them. And so he took plants. He took the peanut and he took it into his lab. He separated everything out of it and mixed it up, and he found 300 things you could do with it. Because he believed that God made a peanut. And he asked God even to show him what was the peanut. He actually asked God to show him what was the meaning of the universe. But God said, "That's too big for you." And then he said, he asked him a few other things. And finally he said, "Well, Lord, can you just show me what the peanut's like?" And God said, that's your size. I'll show you." Amen, Lord. Show us those peanuts. Whatever I can handle, God. And so I think that's an exciting way to view God's world. And I would just challenge all of us, and especially young people, you know, think of all those things. When you're there, ask God to speak to you. "Lord, what do you want to tell me? I know God's spoken to me through nature many times." God is a God who speaks, and He wants to speak. But you know what? We don't listen very well. We get distracted. And actually, this matter of things, possessions, and stuff, one of the things that helps us not to hear. Because there's something stuck in our ear. And so, at the beginning of a new year, let's take some time here today and think about our life. Think about what we spend our life on. Because if we don't think about it, and if we don't choose by God's help, we will be conformed to the mold of this world. That's just a fact. We will be conformed to this world. And so we have to choose. We have to see through the eyes of the Lord and through His Word and say, "No, I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to choose God's way." That other song says, "There's not a plant or flower below, but makes His glory known." Every flower has a lesson, I believe. Every rock, every animal. I'm not sure what they mean. I don't know why God made skunks. I got sprayed by one time. I'm not sure why He made it, but I know there's a reason. There's something to be learned there. Porcupine. Elephant. No, they're not senseless acts of evolution. There's meaning. Yes. God, open our eyes to see. To hear Your voice, Lord. To learn Your ways through all that's around us. Let us be like the Lord Jesus who saw You in everything, Lord. Give us that purity of heart, God. Well, Jesus, like I said, He taught in His teaching using stuff that was around Him. Think about it. Sheep, goats, dogs, foxes, scorpions, eggs, bread, fish, seed, plants. We could go on and on and on. I'd like to talk to you today about something that we call fool's gold. That's something God made, right? Fool's gold. Why did God make fool's gold? Iron pyrite. We all seen some of that, right? Have we? Well, I believe God made it for a reason. I don't pretend to know all the reasons, but I thought of one for sure. He made fool's gold to show us that there's stuff that looks like real gold, but it isn't gold. There's something that looks really valuable, but it isn't valuable. Now, isn't that an important lesson to learn? I learned about fool's gold when I was a little boy. We went on a field trip. And I don't remember where we went. I think I was maybe somewhere about 8 or 9 or 10. Took a bus. We got off in the parking lot. And this parking lot had gravel. It was gravel. But the gravel had fool's gold in it. All those little rocks of gravel had little specks of fool's gold in them. And so my friend, I overheard a friend of mine, he was the first one to notice it, and he said, "Wow, there's gold here." And he picked it up and he started putting them in his pocket. And I went over and I looked at it, and sure enough, it looked like gold. It was glittery. It was yellow. It was pretty. And I thought, "Wow, this is amazing. Look at this discovery we've made here." And I started putting it in my pockets. And somebody saw us doing this and they said, "That's not real gold, that's fool's gold." And I was kind of disappointed, but you know, I wasn't really sure if he was right. Because it looked like the real stuff. It really did, it shone. And so I kept some in my pockets just to be sure, you know, I didn't want to lose out. There were some people who were saying, "You guys are crazy. That's you're wasting your time. That's just fool's gold." But other people were saying, "I don't know. That stuff looks pretty good. Let's fill them up." And so I wanted to just hedge my bet there. Just in case it was real, I wanted to have a few of them when I got home. Well, I found out it was the fool's stuff. It wasn't real. You know, I was kind of uncomfortable that day sitting around with these pockets with these rocks in them. It didn't help my comfort level. But, you know, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss out. Because that stuff looked real. And I never heard of fool's gold. You know, that was the first time I ever heard the name. And there were some other people who believed the same way I did. And I wondered, you know, they don't look like they think it's fool's gold. Are they going to be the wise ones when we all get home and these guys are saying this is fool's gold? They're going to be the sad ones. They're going to miss out. Well, I was a little boy, but you know, these are the kind of things that it was processing in my thinking. So, I believe God made fool's gold to teach us something about Himself. I think God wants us to know that real gold is fool's gold. Real gold. See, what's the road base in heaven? Gold, right? The parking lot has the gold in it, right? In heaven. I believe God wants people, His people, to realize real gold is fool's gold. It looks like the real thing. It glows. It is very long-lasting. It's valuable. But God says it's worthless here in my kingdom. We believe in nonconformity, right? I mean, why do we dress different from the world? The world's going the wrong way, right? I mean, when it comes to clothing, the world is insane. It's not thinking right, is it? To dress that way? You don't understand human nature very well if you do that. You don't understand what's going to happen if you do that. No, the world is insane in the way it dresses. It doesn't think right. And so as a Christian, I say, that's not thinking right. I can't do that. God, how do you want me to dress? And so we look different. And 100 years ago, we may not have had to have looked that different. The world wasn't as crazy back then. Is the world any less crazy about money in America? Is it? Do we think clearly in America about money? Or are we insane? I just heard that the United States is $14 trillion in debt. And every year I think the deficit is $1 trillion. That's not thinking straight, is it? We're going to spend more than we have every year. That's not thinking straight. And you know, our culture is insane, if I can say it that way, in how we view money and possessions. And we need to know that. We need to face that. We need to come to the grips with that. Otherwise, we just are swept along with the flow. And we don't even know it. And we think it's normal. Why? Because everybody around us does it. You know, everybody around us, they're saying that's the real thing. Right? Just like the little boy with his rocks. And you know what? I think maybe they're right. They might be right. I want to at least get a few of them. I wrestle with this thing. I don't know about you all, but I do. I wrestle with money and things and how to walk through life. It's not just something that I view that I'm in enemy territory. You know, I'm playing with fire. I got to be careful here. I don't think that's an unhealthy view. We're slaves to things in America, and we don't even know it. The advertisers beat their drums, and we all march down to the store and buy all the things that we are told that we need to have. Our lives revolve around a cycle of wanting more, getting more, having to work more to pay for more, and then on and on it goes. And I believe God is saying, you all, you need to be counterculture. You need to think different. And so I believe the Lord laid that upon my heart this morning to share. And I don't claim to have it all figured out. And there isn't one size that fits all. So I hope I don't come across here today as, you know, laying down, you have to do it maybe like I do it or whatever. You have to walk with God. And God allows some people to have some these circle of things, possessions. Others, He doesn't want to have that. And my job is to walk with the Lord, to hear what He's telling me to do. And that's your job. And I know God. I can trust God to do that in your life and in mine. And so let's let the Lord, let's open our hearts today. Just think about our things, our stuff, our service to the Lord. I want to read a verse. Let's just read a verse about what God says. Isaiah 55. I want to get God's view. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, he says, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you spending your money on that which isn't bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. God wants us to be delighted. God wants us to lay up treasure. Did you know that? He just doesn't want us to lay up those rocks, that fake stuff. He wants us to lay up the real thing. And so, the challenge that we face is, Lord, show me the real stuff. We can talk about investments this morning. What's your investment plan for this year? Now God says, listen to me and eat with that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Don't spend your labor on that which doesn't satisfy. You know, money, what is money? It's what we get in exchange for our life. We spend 8 hours a day, let's say, on the average, and we get some green papers called money. That money represents my life. And what I do with that money represents my values. Of what do I think my life is worth spending on? Let's read another verse in Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6 begins with the teaching on doing alms, praying, fasting. Every one of those three things, it talks about getting a reward. See, God wants us to get reward. And Jesus reveals that there's a reward you can get here in this life that's counterfeit, the praises of men, let's say. Or you can get the real thing. You can get the real reward that God wants to give you, which is whatever that is. I believe some of those things are right here and now. Some of those will be in eternity. He's saying there's a fake reward. There's a real one. And then right following that, now he talks about money. He says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Jesus doesn't discourage us from thinking about ourselves. In fact, he encourages us. Now think about your treasure. Don't lay it up here on this earth. It's going to get eaten up. Lay it up in heaven, where it's going to last. He wants us to have treasure. He doesn't say it's wrong for you to think about treasure. No, God made us to be treasure seekers. That's right. The devil's the counterfeiter. He's wanting us to fill our pockets up with those rocks that aren't real. And then we find out at the end, we got nothing except a bunch of rocks, road base. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I looked up that word mammon. That was a Syriac word for a god. It was called mammon. That was the god of stuff, the god of possessions. It was worshipped. Jesus was actually saying, using that term, that they all knew what it meant. You can't serve the real God and mammon God, which is money, things, possessions, stuff. And so this morning I'd like us to ask, for this coming year, where are you going to invest? Where am I going to invest what we have? And I'd like us to ask, when we make decisions, what is the overriding compelling force in our decision making? Is it God or is it mammon? I mean, we would all say, oh no, God is it. But let's just really be honest with ourselves. When you ask yourself, how much do I need to work, let's say, is the compelling factor in your decision what God said? Or is it, I got to pay for my things? Or, you know, really, when it comes down to it, what's the bottom line when we make our decisions? Am I going to have family devotions? How often am I going to have them? So forth. What is the compelling decision about that? I believe God in His Word tells us that it should be in every decision that we make. It should be the first thing and the last thing should be, what does God say? Lord, what do you have to say to me about this? And since I've become a Christian, when I was 24 years old, 23 years old, that is what I began to ask every day. God, what do you have to say about it? And He led me in many paths of direction through that. And one of those was with money. The first and last thing we need to ask ourselves is, God, what do you say about it? God is what? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So He should be the beginning and the end of everything in our life, right? Right. And so that's the first thing it should be, is, God, what do you have to say about this? And the danger that we have is we're surrounded by a culture that is crazy about money and things. And if we compare ourselves, we can be influenced in ways that are not good. Far better to compare ourselves to the people in Haiti. Right? That's a safe thing. Or the people in Ghana or wherever, those kind of countries. So that's some of those hard questions I'm challenging us to ask ourselves in this coming year. Can we look at that? Can we look at our stuff and our things? And I mean, I have 10 children. I've got a lot of stuff. I need a lot of stuff. But I wrestle with stuff. Because everything I add takes some more of my time. Right? You've got to care for it. You've got to clean it. You've got to store it. You've got to move it. You've got to whatever. And pretty much everything I have, I use. I don't have stuff that's just sitting, rotting. I got a lot of stuff. Well, that brings attention to me. Tension. Because I don't want my heart to be in that stuff. And we should have attention in our hearts about that. That's right. Your money is your life in exchange. Now, just recently I was thinking the Lord was leading me to a certain tool that I felt I needed in my work and in my ministry. And I felt like God was leading me to that. But I was wrestling with the options of what to do with it. And there were two, finally it came down to two things. And one of them was something that had all these bells and whistles. And I really wanted it. It was really nice, you know. And the other one was something that did the job. But it just wasn't quite, didn't have as many bells and whistles on it. And I wrestled, I prayed about it. And I got to thinking about it. You know, the one was going to cost me $700 a year more than the other. Well, you know, if you just think $700, okay, that's I can scrape that together easy enough, certain amount of month, whatever, that's not a big deal. But I got to thinking, well, wait a minute, how many days is that going to mean that I'm going to give for that thing this year? So I started thinking it in those terms. Well, let's see, $700, so much a day, that means it's going to take, do I want to give X amount of days more? Is it really worth those bells and whistles to me? I thought, you know what, I think I'll have those days instead. I could do something better with those days. You know, I think that's a healthy way to think about things. I just did a few quick figures yesterday just to illustrate this in one other way. If you would borrow $100,000 to buy a house, 5% interest, your payment would be $860 a month. If you made $3,600 a month, or you had that for disposable income, after taxes and tithes and whatever else, which would be like $43,000 a year, that would represent 1/4 of that month, which would be 5 1/4 days in the month that you're actually going to be working to pay for that. And then I thought, all right, what if we make that $200,000? If you borrow $200,000 for a bigger house, a better house, whatever, that comes out to $1,400 a month, which would represent 8.5 days a month, which is 3 1/4 days more every single month for 30 years, which is 39 days a year, 1,170 days in 30 years, represents 3.2 years. Actually, it represents 4.5 years of work. What kind of return on your investment could you get with 4.5 years of your life in God's kingdom? God doesn't give 10%. It says He gives 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold. Yeah, those are real things that we need to look at and face. Because we live, again, in a culture that just assumes it's just, hey, this is just the way we do it. Just go for it. Get that big mortgage. It's only so much a month. No, that's my life. That's my life. So the question is, what is the predominant factor when we make decisions about stuff? Is it God? Is it really God? Or is it our things? That song is a beautiful song we sung this morning about, Lord, here am I. Send me. And I think we were all touched by that. Every Christian has that desire in our heart. God, yes. That's what I want to be. Send me, Lord. Whether that, we're not all missionaries, we know that. But that may just be send me to my job, to be a witness for you there. And make me someone who can send those who are missionaries. But the real practical fact is, we're not going to be able to sing that song and have that reality unless we are purposeful in how we deal with our money and stuff. I don't know how many Christians I could say over the years that I've been a Christian, 20 plus years, that I've heard say something to the effect of, I wish I could do this, meaning something in the Lord's work, but I can't. I have a house payment, or I have whatever the payment is, something. That's so sad to me. I mean, to me, that's tragic. If we have to make that choice, I'd love to, Lord, but I can't. I got to pay the bill. And maybe God would have some of us to reconsider those things and maybe to make our bills lower. Freedom. That's what I want is freedom. I want to be free that I can serve God wherever He calls me, wherever He leads me. That there's no chains holding me back. There's no rocks in my pocket that are going to keep me from running fast or running long. But I know when God calls me, I can say, yes, Lord, here am I. And you know, the beginning of the year is a good time to think about it. Let's just take an inventory. I know we can't do all that right today. And if all you do is hear this message and don't think about it, probably nothing will be different. But if you go home and you really think about it, you go home and talk it over with your wife, your children, you assess it. You know, where are we? Where do we spend our money? Do we need everything we have? Do I need a new car? You know, do I need whatever? A bigger house? I mean, I built an addition on the back of my house this year. I felt God told me to do that. I know God told me to do that. I believe it. I'm not saying we shouldn't do things like that. But are we doing it for the Lord's reasons? Or are we doing it for our own? And are we doing it God's way? What would we think of a man that was given millions of dollars? He knew he was going to be going on a trip. He was going to go somewhere. He was going to go somewhere where he was going to live for a long, long, long time. And he was given all this while he was on his trip. What would we think of that man if he blew it all on the trip? Let's say he was going to Europe. And he really wanted to go first class. So he got the Queen Anne ship for him and his family. Took a year cruise. Lived it up. Had like 100 servants, you know. He brought them all the lobster tails and everything every night. Cruised around the world. Took the long way because he wanted to have a good ride. What would we think of that man? He blew it all. So he arrives on the shores of Europe and he has nothing left. Would not we say that guy was a fool? Because he's going to live for a long time. He's going to live for a really long time there and he has nothing. He blew it all right there. They say that guy was a fool. We're all millionaires on a trip. And we're going someplace that we're going to be a long, long time. I would guesstimate the average American probably has $2 million passed through his hands in his life. I think that's about right. $1.5 million, $2 million maybe. Not far off. That's just money. But that's a couple million dollars. But I'm thinking, when I say we're millionaires, I'm thinking of the endowment that God has put in every one of us. The God-like nature. The ability to live and do things. And create and serve. And even people in Haiti have that. They're millionaires too. They have the amazing gift from God of life in His image. And so, most people in the world spend everything they have on their trip. Not just their money, but also their life, their time. Most people do. And there's nothing left at the end. And Jesus was challenging us there. He said, send that money ahead. Put that treasure up ahead. Send it to where it's going to do you good. Where you're going to enjoy it. Don't blow it all on the trip. That trip will soon be forgotten. I'd like to speak of an antidote to the sickness of our culture. And I guess it wasn't just our culture because they spoke it 2,000 years ago too. But turn with me to Hebrews 13. This list of final exhortations to the Hebrews. Chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you. God says, be content with what you have. That is an antidote to the American culture. Be content with what you have. It doesn't mean you can't have something else if God leads you to do that. But be content with what you have. Don't be marching to that drumbeat. Let the guy just beat his drum. You don't need to march to it. Let him just beat right on past your house. And don't listen. No, listen to the Lord. It's the antidote. Contentment. Good old-fashioned contentment. It worked 2,000 years ago and it works still today. We'll read about another passage in 1 Timothy that says pretty much the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's amazing, you know, how things in the Scriptures are so like our day. Apparently back then they had these preachers that were prosperity preachers. It seems. In verse 5 it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Sounds like a prosperity preacher. They're all over the place in our country, you know it. I found recently, I read of two preachers who have Rolls Royces. $350,000. Preachers of the gospel. Supposed to be. And the one said, well, somebody in my congregation gave it to me. If one of you wants to give me a Rolls Royce, it's not going to be in my parking lot. I can't preach, I don't think. I'm driving that. No, we live in a society that's crazy. And in this crazy society, this crazy theology has risen up to justify riches and living it up and blowing it all on our trip. And the Bible says, from such withdraw yourself. Don't listen to that stuff. I hope nobody here would. But don't listen to it. That's not the Word of God. That if you are godly, you're going to be rich. But he says, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. God says it's great gain if you're godly and you're content. And praise God, everybody can have that. Everybody in this room can have that. Everybody in this room can have what God says is great gain. You can be godly and you can be content. And both of those things come from God. And He gives them. We read earlier, He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come to the waters and I'll give it to you. It's there. Amen. But it's not the fake stuff. It's not those fake rocks. It's the real thing. And we have to have eyes to see it. And dump out that other stuff. And he says, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And then look at this. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The Word of God tells us to be content with food and shelter, clothing and shelter, raiment. Food and raiment, that would include the idea of a shelter. Your clothing, that which covers you and shelters you. Are we content? I believe God wants us to be a people. Just like when the world looks at us, they kind of cock their head and they say, "What's with these people? They dress weird." And hopefully we might have a chance to share about that. Hopefully our life testifies more than just that we look weird. But I believe He wants us to be people that also people cock their heads and say, "Why did they do that? Why did they live that way? Why don't they live like we do? Why don't they, you know, have debts up to their ears and the latest and greatest gadgets and gizmos?" I believe that God wants us to be an example, to be a conscience to a nation that's crazy, biblically speaking. And He goes on to say, "But those that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." He goes on to say there at the end of the chapter, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world." And I believe, if we're honest, we have to admit we're all there. We are the rich in this world. Every one of us in this room. So I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to charge you right now. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded." Don't think you deserve it. Don't think you're better than the Ghanaian born in Gushigu. No, you're no different. You happen to be born here. He happened to be born there. You're rich. He isn't. Don't be high-minded. God drew a circle around you. Don't be high-minded about that circle. There's something about it, you know, because we're rich, we can do stuff. I mean, I can just make a phone call, I can just do something on my computer, and stuff arrives at my house the next day from anywhere in the world. Man, I can make things happen. Money makes things happen. And there's a certain pride that creeps in because we're used to having things happen right on my schedule. Come on. I want it in 3 days, not five. There's a high-mindedness that comes in with money, with riches. That's why God warned us about it. These things are particularly said for the need of rich people like us. He says, "Don't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." Don't put your trust in that stuff. It must be a danger to do that if God told us not to. And I wrestle with it, and you probably do too. We should wrestle with it. Don't trust in it, but in the living God. And I like this part, "who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." That's a balance. You know what? God wants us to enjoy things. He's not a severe, mean, stingy God who doesn't want us to enjoy the things of life. No. "He giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Charge them this, that they do good. Do good. Go around and do good. Use that money you have to do good. "That they be rich in good works." Rich in good works. Those are the things that are storing up those treasures. Ready to distribute. Ready to give. Willing to communicate. Willing to share. "Hey, I've got plenty. I mean, I struggle myself. I struggle being stingy. I confess it. I want to change. I want to be like God is. He gives liberally to all. And it says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So that's the message God gave me for today. I know it's sort of a heavy message, but it's also, I believe, a freeing message. It can be. And God wants us to be free. It's a message God gives us not to bind us up, but to set us free. Dump out that old fool's gold and get that real stuff. I'm going to close with a verse. Proverbs 13:7. It says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Think about that. In the book of wisdom, God says, there's a man who makes himself rich but has nothing. There's another man who makes himself poor but has great riches. So may God help each one of us to wrestle through with the Lord, to not just go with the flow of culture, of a crazy culture, I'll say, that we truly can say, Lord, here am I. There's nothing binding me down, God. I'll go if you want me to. I'll give if you want me to. I'll support others who are going to go. And let's let it change our life with the grace of God. Amen.
Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker in prayer. Can we honestly just open up our hearts to God and say, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me, O Lord. I believe this was the Word of God. This was the Lord giving our brother Paul a word from the Lord to our hearts today. Just think about our treasures. Just think about them. I'll just give you some time. Let's just be quiet before the Lord. Does God want to rearrange my values? Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for loving us to show us the true riches, Lord. And Father, I too confess that struggle, that wrestling. And Father, I pray that we would more fully recognize that I am thine, bought by thy blood. I am not my own, but all that I am belongs to you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that we could truly live a full, surrendered life continually, Lord. So, Father, I pray you will grant us grace and repentance and turning and changed by your Spirit, Lord, into what you want us to be, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to share, but I thought of this lovely hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my feet, take my voice, take my lips, and take my silver and my gold. Take my will, make it thine. Take my heart, it is thine own. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. If you have something you'd like to share here, raise your hand. Maybe a word of testimony or confession. Is there someone want to share this morning? God has spoken to your heart. Shall we sing this hymn together as a prayer to God? Let's do that. 374. And if God lays something on your heart to share after the hymn, just raise your hand. The ushers will get a microphone to you. Let's sing this unto the Lord. Hallelujah. As Brother Paul shared, this message is freeing. It's not bondage, but freeing. I thought too of the matter of money, you know, where people have shared, I wish I could go, but I can't. I'm, you know, well, the borrower is servant to the lender, you know. And so God help us in these things. Let's sing this unto the Lord. Take my life, 374. Take my life and let it be. Thank you. someone feel led to share something, raise your hand. Ushers will get a microphone to you. We can be edified together. Praise God. Yes, sister. Go ahead.
I was very blessed by the message, and it didn't affect me as being heavy at all. It affected me as being joyfully liberating. This subject has been on my heart the past few months, and thought that God was speaking to me in different areas of just the freedom that comes from leaving things behind, from laying things aside. And I also had to remember this morning, I think it was the Cowan family, that as they were seeking the Lord about how to serve Him, before they even knew where or what area of service, they were laying things aside and getting rid of stuff that they felt would prevent them or quench their desire to, things that would be hard to lay aside, so that nothing would stand in the way of them answering God's call or anything that was not practical to have on the mission field, even before they knew where the Lord was calling them. That has really touched me, I guess, not just in going literally on the mission field in another country, but even, is there anything that's holding me back from giving my service to the Lord, things that are filling up my time. And in the past 2 years, there have been different times when I've just been entreating the Lord, tell me what you want from me. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do with my life? What I just want to know what you want from me. And it has seemed that God always answers with, what do you want to give me? What is it that I want? I'm not going to pull things from you. I want what's from your heart. What do you want to give me? And that it has just stayed there. And I guess that was brought to my heart again this morning as Brother Paul shared. I was very blessed by the message.
Amen. All right. On the brother's side.
I want to thank the Lord for His word to us this morning again. Thank Brother Paul for preaching to us about these financial matters, very real issues in our lives. I just can give testimony that God is good, and that financial freedom is probably one of the greatest liberties we can have in our day-to-day living. It has been the joy of our hearts for many years to live that way. But it must begin with a commitment to the Lord to live that way. It has to begin with a commitment to let God guide our lives. If He wants to use finances to guide us, He can. But there must be that commitment and that desire to follow Him in every way. So I can give testimony that my wife and I decided that about 23 years ago, and God has been absolutely faithful every day of our life. And so if there's anyone that wants to live an exciting Christian life, it begins with a commitment to let God have everything in your life. So God bless you. Thank you, Paul, for sharing. And let us continue to walk that way.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Another one on the brother's side? Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Brother Paul, for that message. This last year has been a year of finding our way in that, with all the hospital bills and time off of work. And now, this Monday, we want to head down to Florida. The doctors recommend that we go down to Florida. My wife's been going backwards, pretty steady backwards since mid-December. She had got pneumonia, so the doctors just recommend we go down. So now we're going to be going about 2.5 months, and it's amazing how we are geared. One of the most frequent questions I'm asked by people is, are you going to get a job down there? Well, one, I think I have a full-time job with my family. And the other one is, I'm hoping to have a time concentrated to the Lord to seek Father direction. I'm not really interested in a job. And also, the Lord has provided funds in tremendous ways. It was a little bit of an issue if there's going to be enough money to get through. And I committed to the Lord, and this last week I got a check big enough to cover the way down and the food. So it seems like the Lord wants to provide for us. So keep us in your prayers. We do endeavor to minister to my grandparents down there. They're really struggling. We're not going to be real far from them, and they're older, but they're struggling, and we want to encourage them. So that's one of our main focuses while we're there, other than taking care of the family. Mm-hmm. So we'll be leaving this Monday.
Amen, brother. God bless you, Marlon. Is there someone else? Another microphone here? Yes.
Yes, I'm grateful for this message this morning. In a way, it has taken me apart, and there are so many ways that I can see that I could have done things differently. So I'm thankful for this and to take time to reconsider some things. And also, Brother Paul said something about that we should compare ourselves with the people in Haiti or in Africa. My thoughts went to the rich man in hell. He asked for two things, and that was a drop of water and a finger. And Paul also talked about what we have around us, fields, flowers, and so on. And when I think of the rich man in hell, I think he would feel very rich to have a flower, to have a field. And what these things can teach us. In today's age, we think it doesn't pay to have a garden anymore and different things like that. But gardens can teach us so many things. My thoughts went back to where God in His creation, He took away the darkness. He put lights here. He put plants here. He put animals here. He filled the sea. He made the trees. He made the birds. He made all those things. And then He put Adam in the garden. What a beautiful, caring way that the Lord had for human, for us humans, and how He prepared for us, and how rich we are in just those things.
Amen.
I praise my Maker today for those things. There's, in Romans it talks about praising or to worship the creation rather than the Creator. And it may hinder us sometimes from really looking into creation, but I just feel that the creation can teach us so much about the Creator. And I say amen to how nature can speak to us and teach us lessons and so on. Mm-hmm. Appreciated the message, and I'm praising the Lord for it.
Amen. Praise God. It's the other microphone somewhere else. No? Okay. Well, let's heed the word today and go home and talk about it. It's good to to talk about it, husbands and wives, and with our children. How are we doing? How do we apply this? How does that apply to us here? Appreciate that. You know, the message isn't really changing us unless we're applying it. And so thank you, Brother Paul, for that word from the Lord. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.